This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Your loved ones' lives will end, and for sure a moment where your life will end too, and mine. And kind of remembering that is important, very central and critical for us as human beings, and as Muslims specifically, to make better choices. It is sad, sure, but it's not a reason for you to feel depressed. I don't think death has ever been a reason for someone to feel depressed at all. And I find it interesting when people use it in that manner and talk about death as a reason for you to feel upset all the time or down. When without death, it's almost impossible for us to appreciate the beauty of the moments that we have. It's impossible for us to appreciate how precious people around us are and what we share with them, the world that we live in. This is so exquisite and beautiful and extremely valuable and just amazing to experience. If it didn't end, it would be almost impossible for us to appreciate that. I mean, there's so little for us to do when something's eternal. Which is why I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the reasons at least, I put it here to begin with, is that in order for us to be in a place where there is eternal life, you have to first of all be in a place where there is. So you value what it means to be alive. So you value what life is and everything that comes with it. And the fact that it ends, it just makes it that much more beautiful and precious for us. And I think that's something we should always think about. Like, always remind yourself that you never know if you have another day. So make this one count. Make it a beautiful one. Do the things that you believe you should do. Say the things you believe you should say. Because you just don't know when it's going to end. And that's what we're going to have to experience today as we tell the final chapter of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went through a few things over the last number of weeks. He performed that final hajj, salatu wasalam. He addressed people that final, his final sermon. And he made his way back to Medina. And he spoke to the people of Medina when he first got there. And I shared with you some of those pieces of information or what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he started getting tired. We're now in basically the end of Safar, of the 11th year of his hijrah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he started getting quite tired, and he was pray sitting down. And the Sahaba would ask him, "Ya Rasulullah, you're tired, there's white hair." And so he would laugh. He'd say, "Ya Batni Hud," it's Surah Hud and the stories that within it that gave me these white hairs. And I'm tired because I have so much, I worry so much about you, was his answers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And towards the end of Safar, Jibreel would come to the Prophet for the last time with revelation. And he would never come again with revelation. The next time he came was going to be for a very different reason. The last time he came to the Prophet with revelation, he came to him, and in verse 1 ayah, that was inserted right in number 270 in Surah Al-Baqarah, قَوْلُ تَعَالَى وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And be mindful today, you will all return back to Allah. And then every soul will be given its due diligence, will be rewarded or punished based on what it did, and no one will be treated unjustly on that day. And that was the final verse that the Prophet ﷺ received within his life. This is, and when you read the Quran, not at the end of the second or the first part of the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, end of Surah Al-Baqarah, but this is the last verse the Prophet ﷺ recited to the Sahaba, and he commanded them put it right after this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah and right before ayah to Dain. So that's where they inserted it in terms of a sequence, and Jibreel would never come back again with a verse of the Quran. And Ayman would later say that she was found crying a few months after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And they said, "Why are you crying? He's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's in the Rasul Allah, you shouldn't be crying about that. Sad that al-wahy didn't come anymore. Our houses used to have, Jibreel used to come here. He used to be here. There would be an interaction between the Prophet ﷺ and Jibreel. And this is gone. Jibreel never come back to revelation again. We never get to hear new words of wisdom from Allah come from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's what kind of bothered her. The last 13 days of the Prophet ﷺ, so just at the beginning of Rabi'ul Awwal, or the last night of Safar, it was a Saturday. The Prophet ﷺ, his habit was to go and visit the people of Uhud, the martyrs of Uhud. He did this every Saturday, ever since they passed away, ever since they died and they were martyrized. He would go, he would visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every single Saturday. That was his habit. He never missed unless he was on travel, on a conquest for a battle. But he was in Medina Sunday morning, take a few people, and he would go over to the cemetery of Uhud. So he went to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this time, and he said, As-salamu alaykum ya shuhada, antum mustabiqoon. And the continuation is that you go before us, وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِقُونَ, and we will one day also, with the grace of Allah, follow you. This time he said, مُسَّابِقُونَ, you're the ones who went, وَأَنَا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِقُ, and I am personally very soon going to follow you. And he stood there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave salams to all of Uhud by name, one by one. He didn't do that usually. He would go and give salams to all of them and make dua. But this time he stood there and he gave salams. As-salamu alayka ya Hamza, ya ibn Abdul Muttalib, as-salamu alayka ya Anas ibn al-Nadr, as-salamu alayka ya Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and he gave salams to them one by one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made dua for them, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the Sahaba could sense in the wording used for this visit that there was something a little bit different. Before he left the cemetery of Uhud, he would turn to the Sahaba, and he would say, ishtaqtu ila ikhwani, I miss my brothers. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَوَلَسْتَ أَخْوَانَكَ, are we not, then who are we? What are we to you? فَقَالَ أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِ, your companions. وَإِنَّمَا إِخْوَانِي أَنَسٌ يَأْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي يُؤْمِنُونَ بِي وَلَمْ يَرَوْنِي, my brothers and my sisters are people who come after me. They believe in me without necessarily seeing me. And I would love to see them. I would love to meet them, but I won't be able to. And you can see the Prophet knew that his time was limited. So he was thinking about things that he wouldn't necessarily think about. He was thinking about the fact, how much he's going to miss, how much of the development of the ummah he's not going to be there for, how many people who will later on accept Islam and follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love him, but he won't have the opportunity to get to know and to teach and to guide him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to him, that was something that was meaningful. And the tears would run down his face, saying to the people that I miss them, I wish I could meet them. And that's how he felt, alayhi wa sallam, with those who would come after him and he didn't see. He would, the day after, at night, he would call Abu Muhayhiba. Abu Muhayhiba is one of the Sahaba who basically worked as a guard. He would take the cemetery of Al-Baqiyah. So he would call Abu Muhayhiba and he would say, Abu Muhayhiba, I want to go and visit Al-Baqiyah. So he took him and he walked over to Al-Baqiyah. And as they're going there, the Prophet would say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-Baqiyah, give salams to them. And he would say, لِيَهْنِكُمْ مَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ, may you find joy in the beauty of what you're in. فَقَدْ فَأَيْكُمْ مَدَاخَلَ النَّاسَ مِنْ فِتَنٍ كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ, you are spared from all of these fitness that are going to come after you. And he said, I make dua for them. And he said to Abu Muwayhib, قَالَ يَا أَبُ مُوَيْهِبَ خُيِّرُوا أَنْ أَمْلِكَ مَفَتِيحَ خَزَائِنِ الدُّنْيَا وَأَخْلُدَ فِيهَا وَبَيْنَ أَلْقَى رَبِّي, I was given the option between owning the keys, all of the riches of this world, to live forever in it until the day of judgment, or for me to go and meet my Lord. فَقَالَ أَبُو مُوَيْهِبَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ خُلْ فَاتِحَ خَزَائِنِ الدُّنْيَا, the keys of the riches of this world, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that's what he said. قَالَ لَا يَا أَبَا مُوَيْهِبَ, no. You can wonder why this was. The Prophet would commonly throughout his life be given options. If you've listened to the story, you know that he was given a number of options a number of times. The night of Isra or Mi'raj, you're given the option. He drank khamr, before Umar al-Haram, so he chose the Laban, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the option on the day of Al-Ta'if, do you want to punish the people of who did this to you or forgive them? He was always given the options. They were always small tests of his character, alayhi salatu wa sallam. You want dunya? You want to stay in dunya forever and all? You want to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, I don't want the dunya. He's not greed. There's no greed in him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was not looking for eternity. He had done his job, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He had fulfilled his purpose. He was told that you've done a good job. If you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you'll be rewarded. Why risk it? Why stick around and risk making a mistake? The only reason that we look forward to continuously living as Muslims is to try and be better. I know it sounds weird, but as a Muslim, that's what your mentality is. You live longer because you're hoping to be better, to improve, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do a bit more good deeds, so that to find that deed that will you on the day of judgment, the one action that to perform something that you didn't perform before of goodness and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get you across the finish line on the day of judgment. So every day a Muslim is just an opportunity to be a little bit better, to take the problem, to repent of sin, to change the way, to turn the whole ship around and move forward. That's why Muslims look forward to life. It's not because don't just block the idea I'm just going to ignore the fact I'm going to die, drive myself, just act like this. No, we know we're dying. We know. You know that's what's coming down the road. It's just a matter of time, how long we're here. But with the time that we have, we hope for as much of it as possible so we can continuously try to be better. So every day we can give ourselves another chance of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve the goal. And that is really how he lived it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was told, that's it, you've done your job. If you come back, things are good, why would he stay? قال يا أبا مو... لا يا أبا موهبة إني اخترت لقاء ربي. I've chosen to go to my Lord. فبكى أبو موهبة. أبو موهبة, he sobbed that day. He would come out عليه الصلاة والسلام and he would pray for around 9 days, and then finally he would get so tired عليه الصلاة والسلام, he couldn't do it anymore. So he would say, مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. Tell Abu Bakr, may he be imam of people. I can't do it anymore. So for the first time, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام being in the room, if you know how the masjid works, the masjid of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the door to it was the door of the house of Aisha. So two doors, one of the doors opened right into them. Citing the surah, is an imam, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام comes out and Abu Bakr sees the prayer, so he starts to step back. He doesn't come back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to leave the prayer. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he called out to him to stay where you are. And then he spoke behind him. صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم, and he would say, الله أحب أن يقبض نبي حتى يصلي خلف رجل صالح من أمته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never take the life of a messenger with the ummah. His ummah was destined to actually continue before he prayed behind a pious person from his ummah or from his companionship. And I think that rule that continues forever, I don't think that rule ever ends. If this this is what the scholars said, that this didn't happen to all prophets, because almost suggested that it happened to all prophets. All prophets did this. Many prophets didn't do that. With the prophets, that really no ummahs, their nations were destined to continue. Like none of them followed them to begin with, and their message ended with them. But a message that is destined to continue, an ummah that is destined to live on, that has to happen. That leadership baton has to be passed down to the next person, had to pass it. And if we hope, as an ummah, if we want to continue, then we have to do the same. The same has to apply. You have to have that transition of leadership, you have to hand it over. You have to make sure that you push forward those who are later on going to continue this ummah moving forward. And that was, and to me, a meaningful thing that he said, and more importantly, a meaningful thing that he actually did, which is, pushed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead prayer. Can you move on to the one after it?
Yep.
Yeah, jazakallah khair. I want to keep the story. Yeah. So we'd go on for a few more days. Slowly get more and more sick and more tired. And he wouldn't be able to actually move or leave the room anymore. So he and the way it worked, he would spend time in the houses of wives, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a system to it. So he got so tired and he couldn't. He gathered and asked, then he, an Umar al-Bayti Aisha, would it be acceptable to you if I was, like, for my illness, if I was taken care of within the house of Aisha? Because it was right beside the masjid, so he was close to the Sahaba. And Aisha, because of Aisha's status, and they all granted him this permission for him to stay and not have to move around, because that would be fair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he stayed in the house of Aisha, and he wasn't coming out for prayer. He came out for that one day pregnant Abu Bakr. The rest of the day, alayhi salatu wasalam, was no longer coming out. This is a couple of days before he passed away. And people were starting to get worried. People were starting, people were staying in the masjid during times they didn't usually stay in the masjid. People would pray Fajr, for example, and go work. Pray Lord and go work. But they were just staying inside the masjid and talking and wondering what happened now. What are we going to do? If he's sick, do we need to get him done? They start talking about these things. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is in his room, and he's kind of a little bit, to a certain degree, going in and out of consciousness. And the hadith that we have, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would pass out, and then he would wake up and he'd say, La ilaha illallah, ala inna lil mawti la sakarat. Indeed, there are sakarat, they are the the moments that just come before death. The sakara meaning is when you lose the consciousness. Is that loss of consciousness that happens continuously before death? So he's saying that is very difficult. Before death, it seems to be very difficult. So he wakes up, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's doing this tasbih, and he hears voices in the masjid. And he says, what is this? Scared. About you. فقالت نعم. فقالت عليه الصلاة والسلام ادخلوني إليهم. Take me to them. So they tried to take him عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would pass out. And he picked up. فقال اجعل علي قطرة ماء. يعني put cold water on me. They poured 7 buckets of cold water on him عليه الصلاة والسلام. Keep him awake. And then when he was awake enough, they carried him عليه الصلاة والسلام. And they would get him on the minbar holding him between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and al-Fadl. And he would speak to people for the last time. This would be the last time he would speak to people. Can you move to the one after this? Are you able to move? So I'm going to share with you his final address, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the final thing. This is the final time he would speak to people. It's almost his final words, basically, because he didn't really speak much after this anyway, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would say, to whatever degree he was able to do so, and he would say, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ لَكَأَنَّكُمْ تَخَافُونَ عَلَيْهِ. I hear, is it true that I hear that you are scared for me? So the masjid, the masjid was full. فَقَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ نَعَمْ. Yes, we truly are. فَقَالَ مَوْعِدِي مَعَكُمْ لَيْسَ الدُّنْيَا مَوْعِدِي مَعَكُمْ الْحَوْضِ وَاللَّهِ لَكَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَقَامِي هَذَا. Our appointment is not here in dunya. Our appointment together is on the basin. I swear to you, it's as if I can see it from where I stand right now. I can see the basin. From where I stand right now, I can say, I can visualize the basin. And that's where we're going to meet. So don't be upset that we're going to part ways in dunya, because there's an appointment that we hold together. Our appointment is at the basin. This is what he left you with, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's been, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's really fine. This is a consensus among scholars and sahaba, that the biggest musibah that ever occurred was his death, alayhi salatu wasalam, to this ummah. Just because there's nothing to ever replace it, no way to ever make up for his presence, Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or the lack of it. But what he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, what you need to remember is that it was never destined for us to be together forever anyways. We are going to meet at the basin. Do whatever it takes to make sure that you make that appointment. Do whatever you need to do. Make sure that you're present there at that day. I can take care of you. So I can make sure that you enter with me. So we enter as a group. So don't be scared or upset. Don't be scared for me now. And don't be upset that you may not see me again. But remember that our appointment is on the house, on the basin. And that is a promise that still holds. That is something that still holds today. Your appointment with him, alayhi salam, have a time where you're supposed to meet him. Do not be late. Don't be late to a meeting with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Make sure that nothing comes in the way of you making it to this appointment, to make the health of Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to be granted the honor of drinking from his hands, alayhi salatu wasalam, and entering Jannah with him. Make sure that that's not, be careful, be cautious. Nothing can come between you and making this appointment. And that's what he started with, alayhi salatu wasalam. قال أيها الناس ما فقط أخشى عليكم ولكن أخشى عليكم الدنيا تكاثروها فتهلككم كما أهلكت الأمم من قبلكم. Said, indeed, it's not poverty or lack of wealth I fear for you. I don't fear that you're going to be poor and that you're going to lack money. He's speaking to people who lived and died and almost left. Because the Sahaba time, when they're listening, they have very little. They continue to have very little for quite time. It was a couple of decades before things kind of perked up. But he told him, it's lack of wealth that I fear. I'm not scared that you're going to starve to death. I'm not going to fight. No. What I fear for you is dunya. That you have too much of it. Is the greed of this dunya. You've been given more than you need, and then that distracts you. That takes away your, that takes your heart. It takes your focus, and it ruins your ability to stay centralized and to have that clarity of what it is you're here to do and why you're here. And then you become obsessed with it, and it possesses you instead of you possessing it, and then it ruins everything because you get greedy. You open, and then you want more because you want everything to have more, and then you spend all of your time trying to get all that, get more, and maintain more, and then make it more, and you get lost. And what he feared, alayhi salatu wasalam, for us was dunya, was having too much, having more than what we fully need, and then being distracted by it. Ayyuhan nas, inna abdan khayyarahu Allahu bayna ad-dunya wa bayna liqa'i Allahi fakhtara liqa'a rabbihi. Indeed, at this point in his talk, someone lost it. The person you wouldn't imagine would, for a moment there, just couldn't hold it together anymore. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu just couldn't, when he heard this, he couldn't help it. So he stood up and he said, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا. I mean, we would sacrifice our parents for you. فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأُمَّهَاتِنَا. فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَمْوَالِنَا. فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَوْلَادِنَا. فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَنفُسِنَا. I would sacrifice everything for you. I would give my family, my parents, my wife, my life, my children, my everything I would give for you. And the people, فَنَظَرَ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ شَزْرًا. So people looked at him because it's very inappropriate in the midst of a speech for someone to stand up and interrupt. And alayhi salatu wasalam was never interrupted when he spoke, and he didn't speak. You know, this khutbah is not very long. I'm doing a lot of commentary. If you read the whole thing, it takes like 3 minutes. He spoke very few words, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it wasn't, and the Arab, their culture is that you don't interrupt when a speaker, a person, an orator is actually giving a speech. So people looked at Abu Bakr as if to say, what are you doing? Ma yafalu hadha al-shaykh? What is this old man doing, standing up there and yelling as the Prophet alayhi salam? Why is he saying this? Fadaynaka, fadaynaka. The Prophet said, there's a servant that Allah gave the... See, he understood, radiallahu anhu, that the servant was the Prophet. You see, you and I know that the Prophet alayhi salam is going to pass away because of the finale. They didn't. Not all of them did. Not all of them understood that this was the end for him, alayhi salam. There were some signs, but not everyone picked up on them. And people were really good at living in denial. You know, we don't want someone to die. We don't want our loved one to die. So even when there are very clear signs that this person is not going to make it, we'll continue to act. Not the case. We always have hope. We always hope something will change. Choice, and he's the servant that chose to meet Allah. And it killed him. He couldn't help it. So people looked at him funny, as if to say, Yani, you shouldn't be doing this. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in this state, saw people looking at Abu Bakr that way, kind of staring at him. So this is what he said. He got upset, alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَ مَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ صَنَعَ إِلَيْنَا مَعْرُوفًا إِلَّا كَافَأْنَهُ. No one has done anything for us, except I have made sure that they've been paid back, like multiple times. Everyone that has done something khayr for me, I have made sure that I have yani, given them back two or three times, two or three fold, what they have done for me. Illa Abu Bakr, except Abu Bakr. لم أستطع مكافأته في الدنيا. I have not been able to pay him back in dunya. فتركت مكافأته إلى الله. So I have left it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him for what he has done to me. Ala inna kulla al-abwabi ila al-masjid tusad illa babu Abi Bakr. Ala kullu khawkhatin fil masjid tusad illa khawkhatu Abi Bakr. The Sahaba had opened up small windows and small doors into the masjid because they had made walls and they had opened. The Sahaba would come and they would carve out a door. So the Prophet alayhi salam said, all the doors will be shut from now on. He will close all the doors of the masjid except the door of Abu Bakr. The door that he opened will stay open, symbolically speaking, to the people in front of him. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was different. Ala inni law kuntu muttakhidan min ummati khalila lattakhadhtu Aba Bakrin khalila lakinnaha ukhuwatu al-islam wa suhba. Indeed, if I was going to choose someone as my khalil, as the closest person to me, and I was going to give that name to someone, I would have given it to Abu Bakr, but Allah did not grant me the permission to give anyone the name of khalil, so It's the brotherhood of Islam and it's the companionship. But if I was going to choose someone, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. فَسَكَتَ النَّاسِ. This is the love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, for what he did for him radiallahu anhu وارضاه. أيها الناس من كنت قد جلدت له ظهرا هذا ظهري فليقتد منه ومن كنت قد أكلت له مالا هذا مالي فليقتد منه ومن كنت قد شتمت له عرضا هذا عرضي فليقتد منه ولا يخشى أحدكم الشحناء فإنها ليست من طبعي. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, if I have harmed any of you physically, if I have lashed anyone on the back unjustly, then here's my back, come take your right from me now. If I have taken anyone's wealth unjustly, then here's my wealth, come take from it now. And if I have said anything to anyone that has been unjust or inappropriate, then come and say it back to me and take your right from me now. And do not fear shahna. Don't fear that I'll hold a grudge against you. Because I don't hold grudges against people. I am hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owing nothing. I hope to meet Allah with not owing anyone anything. Not having to say that I have to stand yawm al-qiyamah because someone has a haqq, has a right that I didn't give them, or I mistreated them, or I oppressed them, or I transgressed against them, or I didn't treat them appropriately, and now I have to stand until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes. If you need something, take it from me now. This was his fear, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, you know what? Interesting part of the story. A person actually came out and said that you had taken 3 dirham from me, a couple of bucks, for something for a deen, and I don't believe I got it back. I don't remember getting it back. فَقَالَ يَا عَلِي أَعْطِهِ Then pay him back, you say. Ali, so Ali radiallahu anhu paid him back 3 dirham. So people actually trusted him, alayhi sallallahu alayhi, when he said this. They believed that what he was saying was the truth, and they came out and they asked. And the Prophet alayhi sallam got what he wanted. He stood on the minbar and he would say, Allah, Allah, fi salah. See, Allah, Allah mean I remind you by Allah, by the name of Allah, with the grace of Allah, through the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to ruin your prayer, not to forget your prayer, not to mistreat the concept of your salah. Allah, Allah, fi salah. Allah, Allah, fi silatil arham. The relationships of kin, family. Allah, Allah, and your families. Make sure you keep your families alive. Make sure you keep those relationships going. As annoying and difficult as it may be sometimes, and as unbearable as it may be or seem in certain moments, Allah, Allah, fi silatil arham. This is what he said. These are his final words, alayhi salam. Literally final words. He left this world saying, Allah, Allah, fi salah. Don't mess this. Make sure you hold on to your salah. Don't miss your prayers. Make sure you do the 5 a day. At least, don't miss them. This is when he's thinking, alayhi sallam, that this is the last time I see these people. He's choosing his pieces of advice very, very precisely. Allah, Allah, fi salatil arham. Allah, Allah, fi nisa. Usikum bin nisa'i khayra. By Allah, take care of your women. I ask you to take care of the women in your life. Make sure you have khair towards your mothers and your daughters and your wives and your sisters and your aunts and your grandmothers and your granddaughters. Take care of them. Take care of them because they can be oppressed and they can be mistreated. Allah, Allah, fi nisa. Usikum bin nisa'i khayra. Usikum bil ansari khayra. I grant you my final wish of treating the ansar the best you can. Ala innahum. قَدْ أَدَّوْا مَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا الَّذِي لَهُمْ Indeed, they have performed, they have fulfilled the covenant that they promised. He is talking about the day of Aqaba, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is 12 years before, when they stood together, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, look, I need from you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need these things from you. I'm going to come to you, I need to be a leader, I need your wealth, I need your protection. I need to change your habits. I need. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, you get all that. We will offer you our lives. We will offer you our wealth. We will offer you, open up our homes. We will give you our city. You get it all. And what they get in return? Al-Jannah. It's all they were ever promised in return. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, treat them well. Because they have fulfilled their side of the deal. They gave it all they got. And they did everything they could. All that is left is what they are owed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَبْقَى إِلَّا الَّذِي لَهُمْ And then he stood there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, أَوَاكُمُ اللَّهِ أَيَّدَكُمُ اللَّهِ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ ثَبَّتَكُمُ اللَّهِ حَفِظَكُمُ اللَّهِ He just stood there looking at them, making dua for them, alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah bring you close. May Allah grant you strength. May Allah preserve you. May Allah strengthen you. May Allah show you His mercy. May Allah allow you to continue to walk the straight path. He just stood there for a few minutes, alayhi salatu wasalam, just repeating this dua. Awakumullah, ayyadakumullah, hafidhakumullah, thabbatakumullah. And then he would say his final word, قَالْ أَبْلِغُوا السَّلَامَ كُلَّ مَنْ تَبِعَنِي مِنْ أُمَّتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Give my salams to all those who follow me until the day of judgment. وعليك الصلاة والسلام وعليك السلام يا سيدي يا رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can go back to the one before. And he would come down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that would be the last time he would address people. Jazakallah. The last time he would speak to people. Can we go back one? Yeah, jazakallah khair. And that would be the final time he would appear, alayhi salatu wasalam, in front of them and speak to them. He would be taken to the, jazakallah khair, thank you. He would be taken to the house of Aisha, where for a number of nights, alayhi salatu wasalam, would continue to go in and out of consciousness. And all he would do, alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout this process was perform tasbih and tahleel and takbir and say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. And then Aisha would put her hand on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. She'd say, Allahumma rabban nas, adhib al-bas, ishfi anta shafi. She would make dua for him. Fayaqul alayhi salatu wasalam, La ya Aisha. Kana yanfa hadha fil mudda. He said, no, this would have helped back when I had time. This doesn't help anymore because I don't have any more time. And that's what the dua says. And you make that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them relief. But when it's death, there's no relief from death. This is what it's going to be. تَقُولُ عَائِشَ فَكُنْتُ أَمْسَحُ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ he'd be sweating, so I would wipe his sweat off his face. ثُمَّ صُرْتُ أَخُذُ يَدَهُ فَأَمْسَحُ بِهَا جَبِينَ And I sort of take his hand and wipe the sweat off his hand. But he woke up and he found himself doing this, alayhi salatu wasalam, with not really doing it. فَقَالْتُ مَا تَصْنَعِينَ يَا What are you doing? فَقَالْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قُلْتُ يَدُكَ أَبْرَكُ مِنْ يَدِي There's more barakah in your hand than mine, so I wanted to wipe your head with your hand than with mine. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he would call Fatima, alayhi salam, the night before he passed away. He would call Fatima, and she would come to him, and he would whisper something to her, and then she would cry. And he would call her again, and he would whisper something to her, and she would laugh. And he would ask Fatima, what did he say? فَقَالَتْ The first time he whispered to me, and he told me, I'm dying today. And this was after midnight on Sunday. It was Sunday after midnight at night. And then he would whisper to her again and she would laugh and she said, and then he told me, and you'll be the first person of my family to follow me. And she followed him in 6 months, radiallahu anhu, and she laughed. Imagine someone laughing knowing that they're going to die very soon just to be with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And as he would go in and out of these consciousness, the state, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would hear the adhan of Fajr on Monday morning on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And they would make adhan and make iqamah, and Abu Bakr would be praying as an imam in the masjid. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would open the door. They would, Ali wal Fadl are holding on to him, and he would open the door. And he would look, and he would look at the Sahaba. I shouldn't narrate this, wallahi. يقولون فما كان من يوم وجهه أضواء ولا أجمل من وجهه يومها. So we were standing there praying, and the door opened, and his face, he looked at us. So we had never seen him so in a state that was of such radiance, where he was glowing, alayhi salatu wasalam, looking at us, smiling. He just looked at us and he smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people prayed, like they were standing. Imagine this prayer that they're praying. Imagine this Fajr prayer, where Abu Bakr wants to come back, the Prophet tells him, stay. So he continues his prayer, and the Sahaba, instead of looking where they should, for that one prayer, they looked at him, alayhi salatu wasalam, because his face was just glowing in front of them. And he was smiling, as if he was hopeful that inshallah enough was done for this story to continue, for it not to die off, for the legacy to be carried beyond maybe what some of the people who were praying that Fajr even imagined was possible. Even those people who were praying Fajr that day, I'm not sure they fully imagined how far this was going to go. But I think he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. I think that's why he was smiling that day. This was the last time he would see them. This is the last time they would see him. They would never see his beautiful face again, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he stood there and he smiled because, inshallah khair. Inshallah enough has been invested in this group that you will be able to do the job after I leave. And he was taken in, alayhi salatu wasalam. And just as the sun came up on Monday, the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, Aisha said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, كان رأسه في حجري بين سحري ونحري. His head was in her lap. تقول فإذا به بِأَسْمَعُهُ يَقُولُ She can hear only one side of the story. She can't hear both. She had to fill in the blanks herself, رضي الله عنها, based on the understanding she had of what was actually occurring. But as all prophets, as he tells us, عليه الصلاة والسلام, they don't die without Jibreel coming and asking for permission. It's the status that they carry in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that before they die, unlike you and I, there'll be no permission seeking when we leave. It can happen any moment. But for the prophets, there's a moment of permission seeking. So Jibreel would come back. This is the last time he would ever come in this form. This is the last time. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَرْسَلَ مَعِي مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ يَسْتَأْذِنُ فِي الدُّخُولِ عَلَيْكَ Indeed, Allah has sent with me the angel of death and he's asking permission to come. فَهَلْ تَأْذَنُ لَهُ Do you grant him your permission for him to come into this room? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And this is what Aisha is hearing. إِذَنْ لَهُ يَا جِبْرِيلُ O Jibreel, grant him my permission. فَيَدْخُلُ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَسْتَأْذِنُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إن الله مخيرك بين أن تبقى في الدنيا خالدا فيها أبدا وبين أن تلقى ربك عز وجل Allah indeed grants you this option of staying in dunya for as long as you will and as long as you want or for you to go and meet your Lord فماذا تختار يا رسول الله What is it that you want to do? So his response would be بل الرفيق الأعلى No, I choose the heavenly companion الرفيق is companion or friend Al-A'la is the highest. You say, Bali al-Rafiq al-A'la, I choose the heavenly companion. Bali al-Rafiq al-A'la, I choose the heavenly companion. تقول فسقطت يد رسول الله. And his hand fell, alayhi salatu wasalam. And his head would become heavy in her lap. And she would know that the Prophet والسلام, with his body is no longer amongst them. So she would call amongst the people in the masjid, مَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ The Prophet has died. And Fatima would come into the room والسلام, and sit beside him. And she would say, وَأَبَتَا إِلَى جِبْرِيلَ نَنْعَاهُ وَأَبَتَا جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ مَثْوَاهُ She would say, Oh my father, to Jibreel, we send him along with Jibreel. Oh my father, indeed the Jannah of Firdaus is his final destination. When this happened, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would walk into the room, رضي الله عنه وارضاه. He would come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he would say, Wa nabiyyah, wa khalilah, wa habibah, wa sahibah. Oh my friend, oh my prophet. Oh my companion, oh my leader, oh my beloved one. And he would kiss him on his forehead. And he would say, طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ You are beautiful both in life and in death, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ And he would walk outside. And what happened when he died, عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he passed away, is that the Sahaba, I mean, this piece of news that was shared with them was something beyond their ability to a certain degree to comprehend. Ali fell. To his knees, he couldn't move. Ali radiallahu anhu couldn't stand up. He couldn't do anything. He just sat. He lost the ability to move. Uthman was walking around aimlessly. He was talking to himself. Sayyidina Umar picked up his sword and he started to say, "Ala inna Muhammadan dhahaba ila rabbihi kama dhahaba Musa wa innahu a'idun ilayna." Muhammad has gone to his Lord, just like Musa has gone to his Lord. And he will come back to us, just like Musa came back to us. وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا مَاتْ فَإِنِّي ضَارِبٌ عُنُقَهُ And if anyone says Muhammad is dead, I will behead them. It's funny, this moment again, whenever you tell the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, It's the end piece has so much of Siddiq radiallahu anhu in it. He has so much of Abu Bakr within this story. He has such presence at the end radiallahu anhu because it's his best friend. There's a human part of this story that I think sometimes when we tell it we don't think about. Abu Bakr, that was his best friend. They grew up together. He was with him every step of the way. He was with him through the difficult and the hard. He sacrificed with him. He stood by him. He was with him through the whole thing. And his friend is gone. And Abu Bakr was a very mellow-hearted person. The Sahaba, when he was told to lead prayer. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, "Muru Abu Bakr, فليصلي بنا." Tell Abu Bakr to lead prayer. Some Sahaba, even Aisha, his daughter, said, "No, not Abu Bakr. ألا إن أبو بكر رجل أسيف." Abu Bakr is too sensitive, and he prays. We can't understand a word he's saying. He's just crying the whole time. Can we find someone else to lead for the Prophet? I got very upset. عليه الصلاة والسلام, "No. يصلي أبو بكر. أبو بكر is the one who's going to lead." And he just that's his character. He's not he was not like Umar, like a very, you know, go-to person, someone who. But on that day, when everyone seemed to be completely lost, when people didn't know what to do anymore, they didn't know what to do. This piece of news was just beyond their ability to comprehend. How is he not here, alayhi salatu wasalam, anymore? It was too heavy. He walked out, radiallahu anhu, from the room. And as Umar was, you know, يقول وعمر يشوح بسيفه يلوح بسيفه, Umar standing there with his sword, فقال اسكت يا عمر, be quiet, اجلس, sit. So he sat, he didn't say a word. فقال وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. All Muhammad is one of the prophets and messengers of Allah. Many messengers have come before him. What is it? If he dies or if he is killed, you turn your back on the legacy that he left you. And if you do that and choose to make that, if you make that your choice, then you will not harm Allah in any way. And Allah will grant reward to those who are thankful and grateful. يقول عمر فكأني ما سمعتها من قبل. It's like I'd never heard this verse before. It's like even though he knew it, he memorized the Quran رضي الله عنه, but he said, it's like I never heard the verse before. فهدأ عمر ثم قال رضي الله عنه من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Indeed, those of you who worship Muhammad, well, Muhammad has died. But those of you who worship Allah, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the everlasting, ever living, everlasting, and he will never die. فهدأ الناس فغسله علي والفضل والعباس رضي الله عنهم. And they performed the ghusl for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, Al-Abbas, his uncle, and Ali and Fadl, his two cousins, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And they did ghusl for him within his clothing, alayhi salatu wasalam, because that is what the sunnah of the anbiya, that's how you do it for prophets. ثُمَّ دُفِنَ فِي مَكَانِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he was buried where he passed away, which is the sunnah of anbiya, is that they're buried wherever they pass, which is in the house of Aisha, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. فصلى الناس عليه زرافات زرافات, meaning groups and groups would come and they would pray their janazah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they are coming back, Fatima standing there, تقول أطابت, she's talking to Anas radiallahu anhu, تقالت يا أنس أطابت أنفسكم أن تحثوا التراب على وجه رسول الله. How could you? Were you able to do it? Were you able to actually put dirt upon him عليه الصلاة والسلام? How could you do it? يقول فسكت الناس, and people couldn't answer her. وانصرف كل يمشي لا يدري أين متجهه. People started to walk, they didn't know where they were going. Like people were supposed to go home, but they're just walking in every direction. Sayyidina Anas رضي الله عنه say, قال دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مدينة يوم الاثنين فأضاء منها كل شيء. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام entered Medina on a Monday, and everything lit up on that day when he entered. ومات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الاثنين, and he died on a Monday. فأظلم منها كل شيء, and everything turned dark when he did, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it took a while for the Sahaba to deal with this. It took them some time to process the fact that he was no longer there, عليه الصلاة والسلام. It took them some time to accept the fact that their beloved messenger, their leader, their mentor, their teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was no longer amongst them. A few days went by before they were able of doing anything. The dhuhr of that day, because he passed away right at sunrise, the dhuhr of that day they came to pray. So Abu Bakr, who had been leading the prayer, tells Sayyidina Bilal, Ya Bilal, أذن في الناس, O Bilal, make adhan. فوقف بلال رضي الله عنه, and he starts to make adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then he comes, ashhadu anna Muhammad, and he can't finish it. And he tries again, ashhadu anna Muhammad, and he can't finish it. ثم قال يا أبا بكر أذرني, Abu Bakr, please relieve me from this, I can't do this anymore. فَعَذَرَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه granted him an excuse, an exemption. Bilal would leave Medina. He would leave Medina. He wouldn't be able to stay in it for any longer. And he would take his family, would go live somewhere close in Syria. A place called Darayya. It's actually close to where I live. And there's actually a house there that's still in the area that where he lived with the Lahan. He would stay there because he couldn't live in he couldn't live there anymore in Medina. And then one day, radiallahu anhu would be seeing in his dream, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream would come to him and say, "Ya Bilal, amashtaqta ilayna? You don't miss us. Halla zurtana ya Bilal? Why don't you visit me?" And he would wake up radiallahu anhu, and he would wake up his family in the middle of the night, and they would go on and they would come back to Medina. And he would go to radiallahu anhu and he would visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that time it was the Khilafah of Sayyidina Uthman. And Hussein was a young man at the time. He would come to Bilal and say, "Ya Bilal, if'al lana ma kunta taf'aluhu li jaddina. Do for me what you used to do for my grandfather. Grant me the honor of doing for me what you used to do for my grandfather. And make adhan for me." So he said, "Okay." So he would go to radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Bilal. It's been about 20 years or so that Bilal has not been there. So he would get on the Manara and he would begin making adhan, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And then he would come to "Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah." يقول فخرج أهل المدينة يقولون عاش رسول الله. The people of Medina would come out saying he's been resurrected, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they hadn't heard that voice for 20 years. That's the voice they heard, they used to hear when he was around, alayhi salatu wa sallam. يقول فأتوا, they come to the masjid, فرأوا بلالا يؤذن, they saw Bilal making adhan. قال فبكى الناس يقولون فما سمعت مدينة تبكي إلا المدينة يومها. You've never heard a city be in tears aside from Medina that day when Bilal radiallahu anhu made adhan again in memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And that's the story. And as it began, it ended. As everything does. Nothing stays forever. And the biggest grief of our lives is the fact that we never met him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've never had the honor of being in his presence, listening to him, learning from him, experiencing what it was to be around him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And if that doesn't, if to you that is not your biggest loss, then you need to educate yourself until you fully understand that it is. That not having him, alayhi salatu wasalam, within your life is the piece that's missing. And the reason probably why, that every time we finish telling this story, I just go back a week or two later and just start it over again, is because when I tell this story, I feel like he truly did pass away. In my heart, I feel like he actually did. He left. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when you tell his story again, it's like we bring him back again. It's like when I start Sirah, it's like we tell the story again, and I tell you how the day he was born, and then he's back again, and he's alive again, and I get to enjoy being with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, for a short period of time. Then we come to the end of it, and he passes away, and then I can't help but tell the story again, because I feel like if I don't tell it again, he's not there. And it sounds silly, but that's just kind of how you look at it. And I don't think that there's more barakah in your life than continuously living with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, than just always being in a state where you're remembering the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, learning about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, studying what it is that he did, studying what it was that he taught. I'm going to leave you with this final... Okay, it's a salah. I'll leave you with this final thought. I was going to go through a summary of some of these learning points, but that's okay. We can do that, inshallah, a different time. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would sail... See, Mu'adh ibn Jabal wasn't there when he passed. He wasn't there. He was in Yemen doing what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked him to do. But Mu'adh, before he left, which is around 6 or 7 months prior to this, the Prophet alayhi salam would put him on the horse, sending him to Yemen. He would walk beside him, offering him advice and talking to him. And then before Mu'adh set on his way and the Prophet went back, he would say, "Ya Mu'adh, لعلك إذا ما عدت أن تمر بمسجدي هذا وقبري." There's a good possibility, Mu'adh, when you come back next time, that you come by my masjid and my grave, that I'm not here. فبكى مُعَاذ خشعا. And Mu'adh just began to bawl. He just began to cry, رضي الله عنه. فقال يا معاذ لا تبكي. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. لا تبكي يا معاذ. إن أولى الناس بي المتقون حيث كانوا ومن كانوا. And he repeated that 3 times. إن أولى الناس بي المتقون من كانوا وحيث كانوا. Indeed, the people who are the closest to me, the most beloved to me, are the most pious. The ones who are the most mindful of Allah. The ones who are most loving to Allah subhanahu. Those who follow the teachings the most. Those are the ones who are the closest to me. And in another narration we say, don't think it's just my family or the people who are related to me. No, it's the muttaqoon. Man kanu, whomever they may be. وحيث كانوا, and wherever and whenever they may be. Whether they are now or later, whether they are here or someone else, the people who are most deserving of my companionship are the muttaqoon, are the pious. قال فاطمأن معاذ, and معاذ calmed down. And that's what he left us with, alayhi salatu wasalam. That if you weren't able to be with him in this life, and you weren't able to enjoy the presence, the warmth of his heart and the beauty of his presence and the tenderness of his touch, alayhi salatu wasalam, then at least you know that if you work hard enough, you will be able to experience that yawm al-qiyamah. But beware of losing it both in dunya and then later. Just be very careful that you end up missing out on him, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this life, and then missing out on him yawm al-qiyamah, because that would be by far the biggest loss of all of our lives. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I honestly tell this story with only one goal in my mind. That I build within you the love of every time you hear his name, and to salli alayhi. That's all it is. One of the most bothersome things to me in life is to hear someone in any setting say his name, to say Muhammad, and then people not, and then not everyone around fill the air with salah alayhi, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Enjoy of it, in beauty of it, enjoying saying the word, enjoying feeling what it means. Because this is every time to salli alayhi, every time you say Allahumma salli alayhi ala Sayyidina Rasulillah, he responds to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your salah reaches him, and he knows that you're actually sending your salams to him, and he responds and sends his salams back to you. Every time you hear his name, you say sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he sends it back to you, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in my heart, that's why I tell these stories. Because it's such a loss for you to be given that opportunity to salli alayhi, and then you don't take that opportunity. Or find it that we've done it enough times to move on from it. There's never enough. If you spend all day, Ubay bin Ka'b said, Ya Rasulullah, kam aj'alu laka min salati? How much do I spend time doing salli alayhi, out of all the invocations? La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah. How much do I do that? فَقَالَ مَا شِئْتَ, whatever you like. فَقَالَ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ ثُلُثْ, I make third. Third? فَقَالَ مَا شِئْتَ, sure, if you like. وَنْ زِدْتَ فَخَيْرٍ, and if you do more, that's good as well. فَقَالَ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ النِّصْفْ, I do half of my invocation, salah alayk. فَقَالَ مَا شِئْتَ, if you like. وَنْ زِدْتَ فَخَيْرٍ, and if you do more, then better. فَقَالَ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ الثُلُثَيْنِ, I do 2/3, salah alayk. فَقَالَ مَا شِئْتَ, if you like. وَنْ زِدْتَ فَخَيْرٍ, if you do more, better. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ صَلَاتِي كُلَّهَا, do I just, that's all I do? Just salli alayk, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ إِذَن تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُغْفَرُ ذَنْبُكْ. And if you do that, then your worries will be removed and your sins will be forgiven. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I end with that. Subhanallah bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala sayyidina wa habibina wa qurrati ayunina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khayran wa baraka.